Boker Tov world, today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet. We're still holding at the bottom of Lamed Zayin, Omud Beis. And just to remind you, we've been learning all kinds of incredible new halachas, and some of them, the most outstanding, has been the question of Hetem Mitztarif Le'Isser, and Achilas Gezayis Bechtei Achilas Pras, and the question of Tam Ke'ikar. Now, the way that we ended up is a very interesting machlokas, in that we find really two places where the Torah talks about Tam Ke'ikar. Talks about, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Heter Mitztarif Le'Isser, and that is in the sugya of the Korban Chatas, which anything that touches it is considered to be Heter Mitztarif Le'Isser, because we already know Tam Ke'ikar, and therefore when it's talking about Kol Asher Yigabu Yigdash, it's got to be talking about some new halacha. That new halacha has got to be the idea of Heter Mitztarif Le'Isser. Now, it boils down to one simple question. Can we learn out from the dinim of Klei Midyan, if we limit Klei Midyan to kelim that were used the very same day? So then there would be no chiddush in Klei Midyan, because there's no problem of tam livgam on the very same day. And therefore, it must be that the Torah is telling us a new halacha of tam ke'ikar, which is why we have to kasher the Klei Midyan. So according to Rabbi Akiva, I already know the din of tam ke'ikar, and therefore, wherever it's repeated, or ostensibly repeated, because that's how you would like to understand Mishrat, and that's the way you'd like to understand the Kol Asher Yigabek, the Nechatas Yigdash, you can't understand it that way, because I already know to have the Tam Ke'ikar for Klei Midyan. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, we have two new psukim, and those new psukim are talking about the halacha of this brand new din of Heter Mitztarif Le'Isser. However, we can't export it all over the world, because we have Shnei Ksuvim HaBorim Ke'achad. We have one by Chatas, and we have one by Nazir. According to the Chachomim, Klei Midyan, even though they're limited to the kelim that were within the last 24 hours of usage, it would still certainly be some level of pagam. And as the Ran points out, I mean, that means that you're not really enjoying the additional value of the Taroves. And the Torah says when there's no food value in it, that you're not considering it a food or an iser of eating food, like we learn out from the Nevela. So, according to that, the Chachomim say that would mean that we have to have another marker for Tam Ke'ikar. What is that other marker? Oh, that's exactly Mishrat, which comes to Tam Ke'ikar. And as far as how it is that we need an additional pasuk to tell me that a shlomim that touches a chatas is also a din of Tam Ke'ikar, that's because we cannot learn out Nazir from there, because we don't learn out Chulin from Kachim, and we can't learn out Chatas from Nazir, because Nazir has these unusual rules in which even things that are not normally viewed as Achila are by Nazir. Chatsanim and Zagim. But that's how it boiled down yesterday. And as I pointed out, it's fascinating because, I mean, Lamaisa, this is a question in terms of the way people view Nazir Tam Livgam. There are people that will not drink a coffee that was made in even a metal container, because the metal container always has something in it that ruins the taste of the coffee. It's got to be glass, and it's got to be completely clean. And that's why when you go into any of these stores, they're always pouring you the coffee from pure glass that you can look into and you can see, and yeah, okay, fine, so I'll drink it. And therefore, if that's the case, then enochinami, it would be a chiddush to say that it's not considered to be tam livgam, even if it was pagum purta, which is what we learn out from Klei Midyan. Okay, so that's actually what it boils down to, which is amazing. Now, there's one very, very serious problem with the whole approach of Rabbi Akiva. Remember that Rabbi Akiva, we tried saying maybe he means something else, but we ended up showing from the Braisa that Rabbi Akiva is definitely trying to tell us the halacha of Heter Mitztarif Le'Isser. And that he's referring to the din of Mishrat. He may be telling us other chidushim as well, namely that the shear is a shear of a kezayit and not the shear of the shti of revius. Fine. But as far as this is concerned, there's certainly the additional question of Heter Mitztarev Liyazir. So Rav Ashi points out the most amazing, you're wondering, gosh, why didn't I think of that? Amale Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, this doesn't make any sense. Because remember that we darshan from Mikol Asher Yeaseh Migefen HaYayin, that teaches us that you can be mitztarev kol isurei nazir with one another. So in other words, you could put together, let's say, chatzi zayis of chartzanim and a chatzi zayis of zagim, or a chatzi zayis of zagim and a chatzi zayis of anavim, whatever. And there'll still be a shear of kezayis. Now, would you not agree with me that that is an absolutely insane statement, according to Rabbi Akiva? What do you mean you can be mitzarif to Yisrei Noz? You could even be mitzarif Melba Toast. What are you talking about? I need a pussy to tell me that other Yisrei Nazir are just as bad as a candy bar. Whatever it is that you're being mitzarif, according to Rabbi Akiva, we say Heter Mitztarev Liyazir. So don't you see that this entire idea to say that the Torah needs to tell us a pussy that you can mitzarif the Yisrei Nazir spells out very clearly, but you can't be mitzarif Heter? So what's Rabbi Akiva saying? Nobody argues on this. So how do you explain, according to Rabbi Akiva, asks Rav Ashi, Rabbi Akiva, hashta yesh lomar heter mitztarev le'isur. Are you ready to say that even a candy bar would be okay? So now, do I need a pasuk to tell me that isur is mitztarev le'isur? Of course not. So you see that the very fact that the Torah says mikol asher yeaseh proves that there's no such thing as heter mitztarev le'isur, and that it must be when it says mishrat, it must be telling me the Tom Kiker, and apparently we don't learn Tom Kiker out of the Clay Midian. I don't know. Omar Lehi said Rav Kahana to Rav Ashi. But just by the way, I know this is a little bit confusing because we often find that Rav Kahana is a chover to Rav Ashi. In other places, Rav Kahana was the Rav of Rav Ashi. In other places, Rav Kahana was a Talmud of Rav, which means he was generations before Rav Ashi. And the secret is that there were five Rav Kahanas. So, okay. All right, so in any event, so Rav Kahana tells Rav Ashi, no, it's no kasha at all. Because heter mitztarif le'isser is only when you're eating the heter and the isser together. But isser, it's mitztarif le'isser, even if you're eating it totally separately, as long as it is ne'echal, Bichtei Achilas Pras. So over there, it's all considered to be one Achilas Isser. So now it turns out that we have various levels of combination, because remember we had a Machlokas before, a Machlokas Rishonim, about the question of Heter Mitztarev L'Isser, whether it has to actually be mixed, or it doesn't have to be mixed. And remember how we explained that, that according to those Shitas, that it doesn't have to be mixed. The only function of Heter Mitztarev L'Isser is to turn the act into an act of Achila, or to turn the Haktorah into an act of Haktorah, and then whatever little amount there is what the Torah is asering. If you hold that it has to actually be mixed one with the other, so then it's a din in the Taharufas, and it's similar to the concept of Tam Keikur, where the Heter becomes, according to those Shitas who hold so, like the Rosh and Rashi, or at least Rashi and Pesachim, that the idea of the Tom Kikers at the Heter, actually because of the taste, turns into Isser. So it would be something like that. But here we're talking about simultaneous eating without necessarily mixtures. So in other words, even according to those Shitas who understand that Heter Mitztarev L'Isser could be separate, which is the Rush's approach, but it has to be simultaneous. So in other words, if you're eating a sandwich, let's say, of bread and grapes, then you have a chatzi zayis of the bread and a chatzi zayis of the grapes, then you're dealing with Heter Mitztarev L'Isser. But if you're dealing with a pile of chartzanim and a pile of grapes, you don't have to put them one into the other or eat them simultaneously. You can eat them over a period of, let's say, whatever it is, 5 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever you paskin, is kedei achilas pras, and you can eat one after the other without their even having seen each other, and it would still be mitzarev. Obviously, that's the pshat of tziruf iser li iser versus the tziruf of heter liyaser. Then we have the further idea of the actual taste being absorbed. Over there, you would need absorption. That's tam ke'iker. Then we have the question of whether you have a kezias be'en. If you have a kezias that is still there, even though it's mixed with this other stuff, but it's still there to the extent that you would consume a kezias of it, betoch the shear of kedei achilas pras, that is called the achila of be'en. It's not viewed as a taruvet per se, and we know that, as we answered Abaye, Rav Dimi showed to Abaye, that no, actually this is a diraisa, and we ignore the substance that's with it. So that's as if you ate the kezias on its own, even though it was mixed with other things. So those were the different types of concepts that we talked about over here in terms of mixture. And I'm sure Gavi has this all written down very clearly in terms of these differences. So we now have a fascinating question. We're talking about tziruf, right? But what if you hold like Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says there's no din of a kezias in the Torah at all. Any little bit that you eat, you're chayiv. Oh, yes, to bring a korban, there's a din of a kezias, but not to get malchus. Now, in the dinim of naziris, there is no korban, right? For being over on your naziris. So when we're talking about heter mitztaref le'iser, how does Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold of tziruf at all because it's an irrelevant concept, what does he do with the pasuk? So Rabbi Shimon, the letlay tziruf, what does he do with the pasuk of Mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin, my dorish bey? What is that coming to tell me if it's not coming to tell me tziruf? Omar lach, Rabbi Shimon says, don't you remember my special shita? I'm the one who says that if you're mekabel separate issues on yourself, so you say, I want to be a nazir in terms of not cutting my hair and in terms of not eating chartzanim. What's the din? I'm the one who says he's not a nazir. He has to be mekabel every last part of the naziras. You're the guys who believe that even if he was mekabel one thing, that he automatically is considered to be a nazir from everything. So you, therefore, have this pasuk to tell me the din of tziruf. But for me, it adds up to exactly the opposite. The pasuk is telling me if you really want to be a nazir, then you have to say you're going to be a nazir, not just from chartzanim. You have to say I'm going to be a nazir from zagim also. I mean, obviously, you could say hareini nazir stam. That would include everything. But once you start spelling it out, then you got to spell out all of the dinim. And that's why it says, beferish mikol asher yaseh. You have to be mekabel on yourself the entirety of the dinim of naziris, which includes all of these three nazir. Omer Rebbe Abo, Omer Rebbe Elazar. This is a fascinating din. Remember that the mekor, if we hold of the concept of heter mitztaref le'iser, the mekor of heter mitztaref le'iser here in nazirut is what? Mishrat, ko mishrat anavim. Now, mishrat anavim is you're soaking it up. Now, if you're soaking it up, obviously we're dealing with a liquid, right? And we didn't say it's only liquids, heter mitztaref le'iser, because, I mean, Rabbi Akiva seemed to apply this under all circumstances. But, turns out not everybody holds that. Omer Rabbi Abo, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar had a different concept of mishrat. And he says, wherever you find a shiur of drinking, which is a revius in the Torah, then the normal halacha would be ein heter mitztaref le'iser. So remember, our classic contrast to nazir, it was the guy that's got to watch out from that grapevine, is another guy that's got to watch out from grapevine. And that's me and you, if that grapevine is kilayim. That's kilaya kerems, and it becomes aser ba'ana, right? So in a sense, we've got grapevines two completely different places. Now, if you would drink a revius of wine from grapes that are kilaya kerem, so then you would be over on the issue of kilayim, and you would get malchus and so on, right? Now, in that case, you would not be able to say heter mitztaref le'iser. The only place that you could say heter mitztaref le'iser is dafka, the revius shebe nazir. So where you're talking about Revius, when Nazir, remember, of course, the Rabbi Akiva doesn't mean hold of Revius, but he holds of Keziah Shibben Nazir. But we'll talk about that coming up. So according to this, since the Torah said Mishrat on the wine of a Nazir, that's a special halacha of Heter Mitzdarf Lezer. But note that he says the idea of Heter Mitzdarf Lezer is always in terms of drinking a Revius. And that is the difference between Rabbi Yochanan's formulation of the concept of Heter Mitzdarf Lezer, where he said the same words. All over the Torah, Ein Heter Mitzdarf Lezer, Chutz Misurei Nazir. Well, something like that is what Rabbi Eliezer said, except that he said, Ko Revia Shebet Torah. Whoa, now that certainly limits it to liquids. Okay, so makes sense. The difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer. Ikabinau de Rabbi Yochanan is marbe even foodstuffs to be heter mitzdarf le'isur, whereas Rabbi Elazar, he says, no, it's only liquids and nothing else. Midi achrina lo. And once we bring up Rabbi Elazar, by the way, who's talking about all of the places where we have a dinner of vias, you know, we could think of a lot of those places. I mean, we've got kol revias shebatera. I could think of, as I already did, kaloya kerem, you know. I could talk about Orla, maybe Minogazar, Truma. I don't know. I mean, come up with places. But Rabbi Lazar, once he spoke about Revius, he has an interesting simon in which you can remember the dinim of Revius. So he points out that there's 10 places in the Torah where there's, I shouldn't say in the Torah, including Torah Shebaal Peh, I mean even the Rabbanan, there are 10 separate cases where the shiur of a Revius is central. 5 of these cases are red, and 5 of these cases are not colored, meaning that they're like maybe oil or water, but they don't have this coloration. So that's a very nice way to remember things. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Eser Riviyotain, and Rav Kahana made 2 simonim. V'nakat Rav Kahana biyodeh, chomesh sumkata v'chomesh shivarta. So Rav Kahana got them in hand, meaning that he was able to handle them better by recognizing that he's got 5 red cases and 5 clear cases, and then he made 2 simonim that were little stories to remember the 5 and the 5. So the little simon for the 5 that are red was, once upon a time, a Nazir and a guy that was going to make a Pesach went into the Beis HaMikdash and they were Meira Halacha and dropped dead. Whew, okay, what does that stand for? Well, the Nazir here in the Siman, obviously that's Revius Yayin LaNazir. The Eisa Pesach, that's referring to the Halacha of the Seder of Pesach. How many cups of wine do you have to drink and what's the shear of that wine, right? So remember that Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, the Arba Kosos that we drink at the Seder of Pesach, they need to have a Revius. That's your second case. Then when the third word in the Siman is Shahoru, they made a Psak Halacha. What is that referring to? That refers to a din that a Talmud Chochum that drank 1 Revius of wine is not allowed to Paskin Halacha. And then the last case, I mean, the penultimate case that he went into the Migdash, what's that referring to? That's referring to Shasui Yayin, that was Nichmas L'Migdash. Shata Revi'it Yayin, V'Nichmas L'Migdash, Chayev Mita. There too, it's a din in Revius, but there's no halacha of Heter Mitzdarf L'Yisr. And that's the last word, Umeitu, that is talking about Minai in the Revius Dam Shiotz Amishne Metim. So how do we know that if you have blood from 2 different individuals who died, that Revius Dam is Metame Be'ohel, even though, of course, a Nazir would not be Megaleach on it, but it is Metame Be'ohel. How do we know? Shenemar v'alkol nafshot meit lo yavo. But that is another red. It's red because it's blood. It's not red because it's wine, but it's red. And it's a Revius. What about the 5 clears? Well, there's Chamesh Chivarta. Okay, here's my little story about the Chamesh Chivarta, says Rav Kahana. So what happened is, a Nazir and a Mitzora brought a challah, and then it became pasul on Shabbos. Okay, what's that referring to? All right, so the challah, that's referring to revius shemen lechallah. So here, just to make sure that we understand this clearly, there are three different lachmei Torah, if you recall. So one of them is revucha, and one of them is just called challah, and one is called rikik. Now, the challah and the rikik do not have extra oil. Revucha, by definition, means deep oil, so it's deep fried. The total amount that you have to bring for the challahs of the teda in the Torah is a chatzi luk shemen. And the way that we understand it is that the revucha takes double the amount of oil that the standard challah or rikik takes. Therefore, we split the chatzi luk shemen into two. So we have now one luk shemen. And that the chatzi luk is now a revius, turned into a revius, right? Because of chatzi luk split into two is a revius luk. Ah, that revius luk is what we need for the chalas nazir, which isn't quite true. It says chalas nazir. It means for the chalas nazir and the rekik of the nazir. But we're just using sort of a shorthand, right? Okay, so that's one revius. Oil is not red, so we're including it under the sort of clear things, the chivartas. That's the challah. And then the next thing that we had was the nazir. So this challah is the challah of a teda. The nazir is talking about the revius nazir that is used for the lechem of a nazir who has to bring also, he doesn't bring revucha at all, he only brings with his ayil, he only brings chalot and rekikin. And therefore, there's only one revius, which is the same as the lachmei teda, that are just, if there wouldn't have been, the revucha. Excellent. So now we know what challah is, challah's teda. Nazir is the challah's nazir. And what's the revius about a mitzera? Ah, a mitzera, remember, he has to take a bird, shech tzipor achaya, and shech tzipor ashkuta, into water. And how much water does he shech it into? One revius. And we learn that out because it has to be nikar in the water. So it says al mayim chayim, and therefore it has to be nikar in the mayim chayim. And the amount of water that generally would show the dam of tzipor, those tiny little birds, those are, that's a revius. So that would be the third one. And then we have a fourth one, which is the word in the story, shenifsalu. What is that referring to? That is referring to the din of mashkim tmeim. Remember that one of the yutches dvarim that we learned about on Shabbos is that the Rabbanon were gozer that if somebody drank mashkim that are tmeim, I mean, this is really crazy. It's a very big chomer. Remember that nothing can be metami and odam except an avatuma. And furthermore, the mashkim tmeim that we're talking about are not even tmeim midiraisa. So they replace it with a rabbonim. We're going to say a mashkin and mekabel tuma, right? And if somebody drinks a revius of those mashkim tmeim, he becomes nifsal b'psul gufo from eating truma, a very chumra de rabbonan. And the shear over there of water is also water of a revius. So kol mashkim tmeim poslim et hagvia birevi'it. And what's the part, the last word of the siman? That is, all of this happened on Shabbos. What's that referring to? That is referring to the shear of hotzah. So how much liquid? Now, there are particular cases where the Mishnah gives us a specific shear, right? And that the specific shear for wine or for honey or for milk, there's specific shearing. But when it comes to Shara Mashkin, all the other Mashkin not covered with those specifics, and all sewer water that you've spilled out, the shear over there is a revius. So Shara Kol Mashkin, the Kol HaShervchim, is berevius. So now you understand all 10. Asks the Gemara, I can think of a lot more. How come Rebbe Lezer only came up with 10? Yeah, let me ask you, the two Lekka? Yeah, I'll give you some more examples. What about the halacha of how much water do you need to wash your hands? Okay, so the din is over there. Mirevi'it notlim liyadayim le'echad v'afilu lishnayim. Now, not many people know this, that there's a concept of shiurei tahara, Gavi, shiurei tahara. So shiurei, leftovers of the amount that would be originally mitar the adayim, means that if you start off with the revius, that the remnants of that revius, after the first person washes with them, are usable for a second person, even though there's not a revius. Now, this is only true if the water is still pouring, not that you stopped and now you're making a new netilah. So somebody's holding the cup, the water is coming out, one guy puts his hand under, the next guy can put his hands under, even though at that point there clearly is not going to be revius left in the cup. That's called shiurei tira. And that is one revius. If you start with one revius, then you've got enough for netilas yadayim for two. So how come you didn't mention that? That's major. I didn't mention that because not everybody agrees with that. Beplukta lo kamayre. Since in that sugya itself, Rabbi Yossi paskins that the second person can't use it anymore because for him there was no shear. So even though revius is still true, obviously according to everybody, you start off with the revius, but we don't talk about a halacha where there is a machlokas involved. All right? I got another case for you then. How about the case of the sota, where it says over there in the Mishnah, Hayamevi Pile Shalcheres, so he would bring this vial of that's made out of earthenware to prepare the water for the sota to drink, and he would put into it Echad Silug Mayim in Akiyar, but Rabbi Yehuda says a revius. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we also have revius Mayim Lamei Sota. I just told you, man, we're not talking about people who argue. This is a machlokas. Don't ask me why I don't quote something that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. That's why he didn't list it. Oh, yeah, I got another question. Somebody wants to daven, and he notes that someone has urinated right next to where he wants to daven. How much water does he need to pour on the urine in order to make the area suitable for davening? So it says over there, Kama mayim noten letocho, this we had in Brochas. Koshu, Tanakama says any little bit, and Reb Zakkai says, no, you got to put in a revius. So we have revius mayim for Shetan. How many times do I got to tell you I'm not talking about a plukta? Okay, this is only according to Reb Zakkai. Well, what about mikveh? Mikveh, we know that even though normally we use arba'im sa'ah for a mikveh, there's a concept of, Gavi, the tefillah of tzinoriot umachatim. Tzinoriot umachatim are tiny little kelim. The tzinoriot are these little tiny fork-like affairs that you handle thin gold threads with, and machatim obviously are little needles. You don't need 40 saw of a mikveh to be tevil something of that size. And therefore, the shiur of tefillah in a mikveh is one revius. That's the minimal shiur of mikveh. Now, that's a very important shiur to quote, don't you think? Says the Gemara, forget about that. That's a Barnea quote, Barmeai. Leave that alone. Why? Because the Rabbanan canceled that. Batlua Rabbanan. And they made a takona. You can never be tevil anything unless it's in Arba'im Sa'ah, even if it's a tiny little pin. So we don't count that. But maybe once upon a time, Rebbe Eliezer would have counted that. Ein hachinami. It's andogia. Moving on now, on Amud Beis, to the next piece of the Mishnah. So, the Mishnah says, Eino chayav, achiyochav, ben anavim kizayit, and so on and so forth. If, of course, as usual, the Gemara is not quoting the right piece of the Mishnah, and so it's just misleading a bit. And what we really want to talk about is that Mishnah Rishayna says that the Nozer Eino chayav ad sheyish derevius yayin, and then Rabbi Akiva says that the shear is a kizayit. So where does that come from? And forget about the other issues about Hetabit Starfel Yisr, which we've already talked about at such great length, but where do we come off with a machlokas about the shear? I mean, we know that all of these surahs in the Torah, the shear of kizayit is always definitive of achila. And the shear of revius is always definitive of shetia. So how come over here, Rabbi Akiva says that the Torah is telling us, nah, it's not about drinking the wine, it's about consumption of wine. And that would be a kizayit. So I'll tell you, it's because The Tanakhama, in this case, does not consider what the Torah has mentioned, which we'll see in a moment, does not middameh lohona kol yisrei nazir l'shtiyah. The Tanakhama doesn't take the nazir's food and compare it to the nazir's drink, but Rabbi Akiva does. Why? Because look at the funny statement in the pasuk. V'anavim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochel. What is that supposed to mean? I mean, I understand that you'll talk about lachim simply means fresh grapes. But that's not what it says. I mean, avanim lachim would mean wet grapes. I mean, only wet grapes I know about is called wine. And it's comparing them to grapes, just plain old grapes, even though that's really a reference to raisins. But that's not the point. If you put together anavim lachim v'yaveshim, I mean, I don't need to know that. What, just because one is like fresher and one is dried, I would think there's a difference. I wouldn't think there's a difference. So therefore, what the Torah must be really coming to tell me is that grapes as a liquid and grapes as a solid are compared one to the other. And just like the shear of achila is a kezayit, so too are all of the other things that have to do with liquids, even though normally you would have given it a shear of a revias. When it comes to the nazir, it's actually referring to a kezayit. Now, there's another girsa here, clearly, because there are many Rishonim that apparently don't have the words Tanakhama lo medame lahon nechol yisrei nazir. Because the way that they understand, remember that the Tanakhama here is a reference to Mishnah Rishayna. So the alternative approach is not that they don't compare them. They do compare them, but they compare them in the other direction. And they say, this is how the Rosh learns, one of the Pshatim and Tosfos, they say that the point is that this is a comparison of the solid Isurim of Nazir to the liquid Isurim Nazir, not vice versa. And therefore, the shear of even the Achila of a Nazir is a revias. And it's so, in other words, we're not disagreeing about whether we're Madame Lohan. We're disagreeing whether final shear for liquid and solid is Kezayit, like Rabbi Akiva, or the final shear is a revias, like the Mishnah Rishayna. And that would be the other approach. Whereas the girsa that we have over here is that it's only benogea, the question of the liquids, a libra Rabbi Akiva, that they're arguing. But that everybody agrees that we're not going to do it the other way around, to say that the shir for achila is a revias. Okay, getting on to the Mishnah. Chayev ala yayin bifnei atzmov, ala navim bifnei atzmam, vachartzanim bifnei atzmam, ala zagin bifnei atzmam. So let's take a look again at the pasuk, the way that the Braisa darshins the pasuk. Tana rabbanan, ve'anavim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochel. Now, the fact that the Torah spells this out is coming to tell you that you would be mechayev on each one of these things on their own. So l'chayev al zeh bifnei atzmo, v'al zeh bifnei atzmo, you would be chayev for each one of them. So you would think that we're just spelling out what the Yisurim are. But since the Torah not only spells them out, but it puts a lota asa on them, it means that you would be chayev malkas for each one of these things, right? So if you ate two kizesim, let's say, of anavim, you'd only be chayev once. Unless, of course, you got a separate hasra for a separate act of achila. Masha ein kein, if you separate even your one achila into five different things, and you've got this delicious meal of, you know, one kezias of raisins, one kezias of grapes, one kezias of grape pips, one kezias of grape skins, and a revias of wine. Maybe you could even throw in a revias of vinegar just for kicks. Anyway, in all of these cases, you would be chayev for each one of them as separate malkas, which is very unusual. So since the Torah spells it out in this way, you'd be chayev al zeh bifnei atzmo, ve'al zeh bifnei atzmo, and mikanan atadan lechol, now it should say yisurei nezira shebetorah, certainly not true about other dinim, but since in the yisurei neziras, the Torah keeps spelling everything out, so the same way that we have anavim, lachim, and yaveshim. Now, I mean, anavim, lachim, yaveshim are all one thing. They're one species, right? Nonetheless, they are given over here Shnei Shemot. They're given two completely different names. Now, the question of different names usually, I would say more than usually, 99% of the time, is a reference in the Gemara to different Shemos of Lavim, not different Shemos, not the fact that people have different names for them. One is called a raisin and one is called a grape. That's not the point. But since the Torah has spelled out the lo on A and the lo on B, so they have different Shemos because now it's a new law. Don't eat on Avim Lachim. Don't eat on Avim Yeveshim. And therefore, you're chayav azeh b'fnei azeh b'fnei atzmo. So the same thing is true throughout the whole sugya of Naziris. Even though they may be the same actual mean, but you're chayav azeh b'fnei atzmo, v'alzeh b'fnei atzmo. What is that coming to include? Because after all the other cases actually do mention each one separately as a separate lav. So here is the knetch of what the Braisa is including. The Braisa is saying that the fact that the Torah was able to split it up, and it does this time and time again, is not just to tell you that where I give you Shnei Lavim, that makes it Shnei Shemot. It's that even if you see it as Shnei Shemot, in terms of your human usage, it's also meant to be understood as two separate things. Now, where would this be Nogea? It would be Nogea, grape juice. So the Torah doesn't spell out grape juice, right? And nonetheless, if you drink grape juice and wine, you would be chayev two separate lavim. That's the chiddush of the Braisa. Now, the problem is that the Torah actually does mention grape juice. Because when it says yayin v'shechar, the targum of the yayin is chadata, which is new wine. And the shechar is old wine. So the new wine would be grape juice that hasn't yet fermented, and the old wine would be fermented wine. That would be the pashtus. So then why do we need the extra idea that we bring from the Braisa? There's a big chiddush that if you call it Shnei Shemos, it's the same as Shnei Shemos. So Tosis explains that there are three levels of juice of the grape. One is freshly squeezed grapes. Freshly squeezed grapes for the first 3 days have no fermentation at all. After 3 days, you have the first fermentation beginning. And then when the fermentation is completed, then you have the yayin yashan, atikta, as the Targum talks about the difference between chadata v'atikta. So the idea over here is, I would have thought that if it wouldn't have been for this braisa, so I would have thought, okay, so if the Torah is talking about the yayin v'shechar, it's referring to immature wine. That is to say, it's over 3 days old, that's chayev, and so is the fully fermented wine, and those are two shemas, because they have two lav. Chabra chadata v'atikta. Comes along the braisa to say that since in your mind, when we have fresh grape juice that we're marketing as fresh grape juice, which means that it was squeezed and then cooled immediately and packaged, and wasn't given an opportunity to ferment at all, and it's just pure fruit juice, the braisa is saying that too is considered to be a new category, and you would be chayev on that category. Now, the question is, how does all of this stack up? Because remember that besides the fact that the Torah has separated things out into these groups of two, which are really one, but the Torah spells it out in order to create two separate lavim, we also have that additional piece, which was the kol asher yetzei migefen hayayin. Now, how does that actually affect the inyanim of the malchus? Because, I mean, we did need that in order to make it into a prat klal o prat, right? But does it actually add anything in terms of the chiyuvim? That's the question. So Abaye says, look, if you eat just a chartzan, just eat a grape pip, you'd be chayev two malchiyos. If you eat just the grape skin, you'd also be chayev two malkios. If you ate the chartzan and the zag, you'd be chayev three malkios, as opposed to what we just said. Now, the reason that I'm saying that is obviously because we also have to include the additional iser of kol asher yetzei migefen hayayin. So that's a separate iser. Then that means that the Torah really gave you three separate lavim. Whereas Rava says, no. There's only the specific iser that you're going to be over, the one that the Torah spells out. But there's no such thing as being mechayev for this general statement of kol asher yetzei migefen hayayin. I don't go for that. I'll tell you why I don't get for that. Because ein aloka, a lav, should be klalot. A lav that is just a klal of a lot of other lavim that have been spelled out is only coming to make the klal. It's not coming to add a new lav. Now, this is not the standard way of referring to a lav should be klalot. A lav should be klalot generally refers to a lav, like, let's say, lo tochlu al adam, you know. What does that mean? It means all kinds of things. Don't eat before davening and you mispalel on your dam. You know, don't eat when it's mishukat, whatever. But it doesn't have one specific application. And therefore, it's a lav shebi klolot. Or let's say, lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Will you get malchus for lifnei iver? Well, I mean, there's a million things that are included in that, you know? What kind of michshal are we talking about? What kind of iver? I mean, it's an infinity of cases that would be covered by that one thing. Here we're talking about a lav shebeklalot that is not meant to be a lav that doesn't have any clear definitions. It does have clear definitions. The point is, though, that every one of those definitions has been given its own lav. So that, too, at least according to one Maamar Pesachim, that, too, is considered to be a type of lav shebeklalot. And therefore, I say, says Rava, it's not coming to add a new malchus, it's only coming to create the prat klalu prat. So you will get, yes, I agree, you will get malchus for every one of the specific lavim, but I disagree completely about this thing about throwing in another lav. Masiv Rav Papa, excuse me, Abaye, are you claiming that you get an additional malchus for Mikol Asher Yaseh? I'll prove to you that that's not true. Take a look at this price. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, let's say a nazir, and he is sitting there drinking wine all day long. So even though he drank 20 revi'iyot, he is only chayev once. However, of course, if he was given a separate atra'ah for each one of these, amrulo al tishte al tishten, each time he's over on your hatra'ah, v'ushote, so then the hatra'ah, we have a klal called gavi hatra'ot mechalkot. So that the very fact that you had a hatra'ah, that's mechalik the iser that you're doing into a new iser. So therefore, in that case, you could be chayev more than once. Now, how about if this same nazir eats anavim lachim, v'yeveshim, v'chartzanim, v'zagim, v'sachat eshkol shel anavim, v'shata, then he would be chayev five. Now listen, obviously we are not trying to make a list of the maximum number of things that the nazir could drink, because then we would have to include chometz yayin, we'd have to include yayin and so on, which we don't. We just take the strange example. The reason is that we're saying, let's imagine the most primitive situation. A nazir finds himself a cluster of grapes. Ah, the cluster speaks to his heart. The cluster has some dried raisins on it, as often, I'm sure you've seen, as often the grapes will dry on the cluster. The cluster has some fresh grapes on it. Ah, the cluster has grapes with pips in them. Yum, yum. The cluster has grapes with skins on them. Yum, yum. The cluster can be squeezed into a cup of delicious fresh grape juice. Mm-hmm. So this nuzzer goes to town on all five of those variants, and he enjoys that cluster for every last bit of pleasure that he can get out of it. That's it. We're not coming to look for what's the maximum number of isurim that a nuzzer can do. That's already nasty. Here we're talking about a nice guy. Okay, so what happens over here? He gets five malkios, it says in the Braita. Loke chamesh. Excuse me, Sir Abaye. If you are correct, Iachi, it should have said Lo Kishesh, because what happened to the Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin? How come we're leaving that out? So you see that you're wrong. And in fact, Rava is right, and that we do not give Malkus on a Lav Shebeklalot. Well, says Abaye, you're right, you do get an extra Malkus, but the Tana is not listing every single thing that you get Malkus for, so he left out that Malkus. Oh, come on, man. He's giving a list of five things you're telling me he left out. Show me something else that he left out, and then I'll believe you. My shear, the high shear. So what else did he leave out, Mr. Abaye? How did he just happen to leave out the one thing that's your opinion, huh? No, says Abaye, what do you mean? He didn't mention lo yachel dvaro. Now, isn't it true that whenever you're over on the Isurei Nazir, you are also being over on the Neder that created the Naziris? And therefore, you will always have an extra Malkus for lo yachel dvaro, which is the Nedarim quality of the Naziris, right? So since it left that out, which is a general thing, so it left out this other general thing of kol asher yaseh migefen hayayin. That's how I would read it. Well, says the Gemara, I mean, that's not called shiura. Me calling that shiura, that has nothing to do with Naziris. That's just the Nedarim. It happens to be that Naziris is a type of Neder. But you're calling it leaving out the Yisuri Nazir because it doesn't say lo yachel. Very weak, Abaye, very weak. I mean, I don't call that a shiura. I mean, only things that don't appear elsewhere. But lo yachel devaro, that's just a standard of Nedarim, and it's not specific at all to grapevines, and therefore they wouldn't have been included anyway. So, Omelei Ravina Miparzakia L'Ravashi. Well, wait a second. We got a problem over here. We got a problem now. According to Rava, we got a problem. Because, I mean, he didn't say this thing about Lo Yachel. Now, there's something that is definitely left, according to everybody. And remember Ad? Remember the Ad, occurrence of Ad? The Chatzanim Ad Zag. And we said that that's referring to the actual pulp of the grape. And that was a separate status. That's a separate law. Mechar Tzanim? No. Ad? No. Zakim? No. So how come it didn't list that this Nazir took advantage of every last part of this delicious cluster and he ate the pulp? How about that? So now, okay, Abaye says that it's leaving things out. Okay, so it left that out also. It left out Mikol Asher Yaseh. It left out Baal Yachel, as far as I'm concerned, says Abaye. Hey, if you don't like the Baal Yachel, it's even better. So now it left out Ad. But according to Rava, if he's going to tell me Baal Yachel is not called leaving out, why did it leave out Ad? How do you explain that? Says Rav Papa. This is a riot. Says Rav Papa. Okay. I fooled you. The Tana never said anything about five. I made that up. So you don't have to worry about it, actually. Elam Rav Papa, the Tana never said a word about five. That's what happens when you don't check your sources, boys. Lo Tanya Midi Chamesh. I just wanted to trap Abaye. So what happened was, you see, I thought Abaye. Well, we'll see. Ask him, well, what do you mean the Tana didn't say? You said it did. So, understand. Now you're telling me, no, but he didn't say Chamesh. So why were you asking him Chamesh? Omer of Papa, look. I admit I made it up, but I admitted it right up front, right? Okay, so don't get mad. The reason I made it up was because I thought that Abaye had come up with this crazy idea on his own, that you can utilize the klal to create a new lav. I didn't realize that he actually had a source for that and that he had been taught on it. So I figured, okay, I'm going to test him and see how firm he is in his commitment. So I say, Abaye, what are you going to do with the price that it says five? You're kidding. The price says five? I guess it's going to have to be sheer, you know? But what else? I guess we'll have to include Baal Yachel, as crazy as that sounds, but there's no possible way that I'm wrong. Oh, so then I understood that, no, this wasn't something that he just made up. This was something that he was really firmly committed to. So now I came clean. But don't come and ask any further kashas on poor Rava about it, because it's irrelevant. So let's just see that inside. Amar of Papa. Anasavre, Lav Gemara Hibiyade. I thought that Abaye made this up, and it wasn't that he had been makabel this as part of the lima that he had in the sugya. So I wanted to see if he would pull back if I brought a phony source, but if I brought a source that seemed to contradict him, and then he would rethink his position. I mean, the moment I saw him making all of this up, that it's shir, and that Bal Yachel is also a shir, okay, so then I realized, okay, I guess this guy is serious. Now, when you guys started attacking Rav, I realized, uh-oh, this is getting out of hand. So I better come clean. So at that point, I came clean. So I didn't realize, and then when I saw him actually defending himself, even though it was pretty desperate defense, v'lo hadarbe, he was never going to change his mind. So then I understood, okay, I better come clean. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah is adorable, though. But anyway, so getting on to the last piece before the Mishnah. We, of course, quote the wrong piece, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah in there, because what we're really talking about is the Machlokas at the end of the Mishnah, and Rebbe Yehuda says, Chartzanim are the outside, and the Zagim is the seeds, and Rebbe Yossi says, no, it's the other way around, and the way to remember is the bell on the cow's neck. Omer Rav Yosef, remember Rav Yosef was a Boki in Targum, and so Rav Yosef was asking the Targum that we have in the Targum Unklus for the words Mechartzanim v'Adzag are Mipurtzanim v'Ad Itzurin. So what exactly, what does that follow? Which shita of it does it follow? Because Purtzanim in Aramaic is seeds. And now the other part, Itzurin, doesn't really mean anything. It means the squeezies. What do you mean the squeezies? But the point is, when you're squeezing, you don't squeeze the seeds. When you're squeezing, you squeeze the skins. So he's obviously being mefarshit from the seeds to the squeezy skins. That's the point. And that must be, therefore, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says the Chartzanim indeed are Purtzanim, which are seeds, and the Zagim are the outside, like the bell is the outside to, what's that cow's name again? Was it Bossy the cow?
Elsie the cow.
That's the other cow. There was one that has a B. Elsie is in Finland.
Bessie.
What is it?
Bessie.
Is it Bessie? Maybe it's Bessie. But anyway, whether it's Elsie's bell or Bessie's bell, the idea is clear. All right. Now, that brings us to the end of this fascinating excursion into these very new, exciting halachas about the very special area of the Yisrei Nazir, all part of that magic special world of the Nazir, in which we have all kinds of unique dinim that are applied. Quite amazing. I have to think about the implications of the specifications of these Yisurim, specifically by something where the person had no idea what he was getting into, but hopefully we'll do that. But anyway, this brings us now to the rest of our parak, which is talking about the other two categories of things that the Nazir is usher in, which Bezrat Hashem we will do tomorrow with the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meanwhile, wishing you a day of Suras Teves, Simcha, and further preparation for Chag HaPurim Abba Aleinu, even though we weren't Mekabelet as Yontev, but well, after all, it's definitely Simcha. See you, God. Bezrat Hashem.